It's one of my favorite gospel passages every year. And we get the image of the transfiguration of Jesus on the top of Mount Tabor, that he ascends this mountain on a few days long hike with Peter, James, and John. And you can imagine the conversations that they have. It's unique that Jesus doesn't take all of the apostles up the mountain. We hear he took Peter, James, and John, his brother. That God, from time immemorial, has been choosing certain people. We heard it in today's first reading in Genesis, that God chooses, takes Abram. He takes him out of his homeland and brings him into a land flowing with milk and honey. Milk and money would be nice, too. Milk and honey. And it's there he says that you, through you, there will be a blessing to all of the world. And from Abram's family, we get Isaac and Jacob, all the way to Joseph and his 12 brothers, the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the book of Deuteronomy, God says, I didn't choose you, Israel, because you were the best nation. I didn't choose you because you were the biggest or the wealthiest nation. I chose you because I loved you. I chose you because I loved you. And on the night of the Last Supper, Jesus says, it was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you. Not because you had done anything for me, not that I wanted you to do anything for me, but because I loved you, I chose you. So God takes us aside to allow us to experience his goodness, taking Peter and James and John. And when we hear, and he was transfigured before them. The Greek word there is metamorphosis, that there's a transformation that happens in Jesus. All this time, his godness has been hidden behind his humanity. And for a brief moment, he's going to give them one vision, one promise that he truly is God, that his humanity, his divinity are totally co-equal in Jesus. And for a moment, he allows his brilliance to shine in front of them. At his baptism, we hear this epiphany from God. Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father's booming voice. And right now, as Jesus is beginning this time of Passover, as he's approaching his death, he gives them another epiphany. Him transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes become white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Moses is the author of the first five books of the Bible. Moses was the faithful servant who God had sent on this mission to lead his chosen people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses was the most important character in all of the Old Testament. He received the law from the top of Mount Sinai. And now he appears here, the faithful servant of God, our Heavenly Father. And Elijah, the greatest of the prophets. In these two men, we see what Jesus is doing. That he didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but he came to fulfill them. Everything that they had written about the Messiah is now fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. This is how I feel on Sundays when we gather in worship. It's like, Lord, it is so good that you all, that we are here. Like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be at this moment in time. Lord, it is good that we are here. And Peter becomes overwhelmed by what's happening before him. It is good that we are here. And if you wish, I will make three tents here. This emphasis on the word here. Like not just at this point in time or in this place, but everything that's happening here. Peter wants to capture lightning in a bottle. He knows he's never going to have an experience like this again. That all of God's goodness is being poured into this one moment. And he wants to capture it so that it would never slip away from him. This great desire for Peter. And he says, if you wish, I will make three tents here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And the Greek word there, the Hebrew word is for tents is a tabernacle. Let me make a tabernacle for you to be able to stay here. We hear in the first letter or the first chapter of John's gospel. And the word was made flesh. And he tabernacled among us. The word was made flesh and he made his dwelling among us. And here in this chapel, we have a tabernacle that houses Jesus. And if Peter on that day wanted to say, I want you to be with me here forever in this moment, we get that same experience when we come into the house of God, that he has tabernacled among us, that he's put down his roots and he will not go anywhere, so we can come and behold his glory. And while Peter is still speaking, God the Father totally interrupts him. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. This is the glory cloud that we hear about in Exodus. That when Moses would go in to speak with God face to face, you'd have this glory cloud, the Shekinah in Hebrew. And the glory cloud would come down and cover them so that the people wouldn't be able to see this conversation that Moses is having face to face with the living God. And it's the same cloud that overshadows Mary at the moment of the Annunciation. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. That God's power and glory comes down among them. Then the voice from the cloud says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This is my beloved Son. In the New Testament, we hear God speak a few times. And the only thing he really says, the only word that God the Father has to say is Jesus. This is my Son. That's all the Father wants to give us at the end of the day. God wants to give us his Son, Jesus. Everything else is secondary. God wants us to know his Son. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, in whom I delight. Do you know yourself to be the delight of someone else? When your parents held you, I have two little nephews, and I could look at them all day. They're so useless, but they don't do anything for me except bring me delight. This is the joy that the Father and the Son get to have. And some of that delight wears off over time, right? As we get older, you're not as cute as you used to be, okay? But between the Father and the Son, there's this pure exchange of delight, and it's never stopped. That the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father, this eternal exchange of love between the two. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, in whom I delight. Listen to him. He probably has something important to say. Listen to him as I listen to him. And maybe if you listen to him as I listen to him, you'll get to experience the same sort of delight. This is what happens when Moses was going into the tent each time to speak to God the Father. That he'd come out, and he didn't know it, but that his face became radiant, and the people had to look away. Something about Moses' complexion literally changed, so he had to wear a veil over his face. It's like when we come into close proximity with God, something about us changes. Maybe you've been around really holy people, and you see their joy, and you think, how did that person get it? Because they spent time with the Lord. They've seen him face to face. They believe him. They trust him. They know him. They delight in him. Something changes in us when we give our lives over to the Lord. And at this, the Father's voice, the disciples heard this. They fell prostrate and were very much afraid, like wax melting before a fire. They fall prostrate. They melt before God. And Jesus comes, touches them as he does to us in the sacraments, and he says, "Rise and do not be afraid." The most frequently repeated sentence in all of Scripture is, "Be not afraid." Rise and do not be afraid. And then they raise their face, they raise their eyes, and they saw no one else but Jesus alone. We get that same phrase in John chapter 8 with the woman caught in adultery. Right, this woman who's just been brought out from the very act of committing adultery, which it can be as graphic as you need that to be, caught in the very act of committing adultery, is brought into the temple area where Jesus is, and they say, "Good teacher, in the law of Moses, it says this woman deserves to die." And they all have stones in their hands. This woman, in a matter of moments, will be hit with enough rocks that her life will disappear from her body. That's what's about to happen. And Jesus says, "Let the one without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And it says, one by one, they dropped their stones and walked away. And she looks up and sees no one there but Jesus alone. No one there but Jesus alone. In that encounter, Jesus asks her, "Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No one, sir." And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She saw no one there but Jesus alone. And in that look of love, it was the moment that completely changed her life. She would go back for the rest of her life and say, this is what changed. That my life was about to be taken to me, and Jesus gave it right back to me. And I saw no one there but Jesus alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. And you think, why? Like, what? We should tell this to everyone. He said, no one would believe it. No one would believe that this happened. So this secret is entrusted to Peter, James, and John. Don't tell anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Jesus rises on a Sunday. They wait 9 days for Pentecost. The Holy Spirit rushes upon them in the upper room. And you guarantee that day, St. Peter goes out into Jerusalem and tells them, and we beheld his glory. St. Peter can't wait to say this. It's been locked in his heart ever since this moment. And he says, we beheld his glory on the mountaintop. And then in 2 Peter, he mentions it again, that he brought us up the mountain, unveiled his glory before us. That this moment changed the life of Peter. And from here on out, as Jesus sets his face resolutely on Jerusalem, on what's going to happen on Good Friday, that Peter and James and John are carrying this in their heart, and they cannot wait to share it. But we see in this beautiful encounter one more appearance of God the Father. And the one thing that God the Father wants to give us, the one thing he absolutely wants to tell us, is his Son. He wants to tell us about his Son, Jesus, in whom he is well pleased. It is good that we are here. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.